Thank you. It's such a beautiful day to be together to celebrate baptism, to have fruit snacks on the front steps. You know how you really made it as a preacher? You know when you really are something special? I'll tell you. It's when your Bible and your suit match, isn't that? I'm kidding. There's nothing further from the truth in my life. I want to delay as long as possible telling you personal things that might get me in trouble. I'd like to share with you some personal details, some marital details. And in the event I need a place to stay later tonight, I want to call you and ask for a couch. Ever since the advent of Eva, there has been a form of communication that has taken over my marriage. And communication, along with some other practices, self-sacrifice, commitment, communication is a foundation for all healthy relationships, including the one with your spouse. And ever since Eva showed up on this earth, the primary mode in which my bride and I communicate with one another, it was a little something like this. One of us is in another room of the house negotiating with a toddler who is half-dressed, half-covered in spaghetti, and halfway squeezing herself into the oven. And the other of us is in a totally separate room shouting out, yada, 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 something very important. And in another room, while negotiating with a toddler, all I can hear or Allison can hear from the other shouting at one another from across the house is the sacred words, wah, 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 wah. Young people, this is a great joke. And when you go home, if you'll Google Charlie Brown, you'll see why it was such a great joke. So from across the house, all I hear is wah, wah, wah. And so the most common word in my marriage, in the most sacred relationship of all the relationships I have in my life and that exist in this world, the most common word used in our home is the word, huh? All of creation, all of communication, rather, is not created equally. All of communication doesn't exist on an equal platform. This is why a handwritten note from your beloved is more valuable than the Constitution. This is why that song that was played at your wedding makes you cry every time. All communication isn't created equally. This is why a conversation with a person that you respect, maybe a person of a different opinion, a conversation with that person is more important than anything you can hear on television, more important than anything you can hear on the news. In this world we live in, an occurrence is happening more and more in my life, and I assume maybe even in yours as well. We've had the advent of this incredible access to unlimited information. And time and again, you may find yourself finding out very important personal details about a person that you love, that you know, that you care, that you're in relationship with. You find out some of the most important information about their life. You find out about it online, right? All communication is not created equally. And the eternal, complete wisdom of God takes on flesh, enters into time and space and relationship, so much so that the book of John says this is the Word of God. Christ is the Word of God. The incarnation, on one level, is a communication event. And not all communication is created equally. There is a large number of information platforms in our world that aren't worth your time. And there is a small set of communication in this life and in this world of ours that truly can be called good news. It is good news. Shane Claiborne tells the story of a seminary class he took with his teacher, his mentor, his friend, Tony Campolo. And although the story is about a seminary class, I suspect that it applies to any interdisciplinary study or profession. Shane says is one of those classes you have to take for your major. Everybody's got to take the class. And you have two options, essentially. You can take the Wednesday-Friday option. Nobody wants that. Or you can take the Monday evening option just once a week. Nobody wants that one either, but it's the lesser of evils. So he took the Monday evening class. Supposed to be about 2.5, sometimes 3 hours long on a Monday evening. And on one evening, the professor was really getting into it, got excited about the materials, begins to read poetry, begins to quote statistics, begin to quote the ancient philosophers of this important religious information and how it changes our lives and changes our world. And he's really getting after it. And lo and behold, on the front row is a student, slowly, cautiously, casually raises his hand mid-riff, mid-rant, mid-diatribe. The professor says, what's your question? And the student says, is any of this going to be on the final? To my students, to those of you sitting on the front row, I see none of you are taking notes. This is an inclusive community. You're allowed to be here. And instead of responding directly to the student, the professor scanned the class, rhetorically asking again, is any of this going to be on the final? He takes a deep breath, composes himself, and responds. At the beginning of the class, some few weeks ago, we gave you a syllabus, and on that syllabus outlines all of the required reading. If you will simply read all of the required reading, you are more than capable, more than ready to ace the final. So much so that you no longer need to come to class on Monday nights if you'll just read the material and stay away. But if you want to learn, if you want to discuss, if you want to engage in material that I believe will change your life and potentially change the world, if you want to tell me about that which is truly important to you, to Scripture, to our faith, and to our world, I invite you to stay. Claiborne says, Campolo taught till midnight that Monday. I think this is a similar episode between Jesus and a religious leader who has a trick, clever question about what might be on the final. A couple notes about Sadducees that you may well already know. As the text suggests, many in this tradition of Judaism at this point in time don't necessarily believe in an afterlife, don't necessarily believe in a resurrection. Many in this tribe are wealthy. Are well-to-do in society. Many of these are thought to have been born on third and thought they hit a triple, which impacts the entire conversation. And Jesus receives this question, knowing whom it's coming from, and says, I don't think what you're talking about is what we're really talking about. How often do we experience communication and what we're talking about is not what we're really talking about? And Jesus entertains the question for just a moment and ultimately concludes. And I think what Jesus says, entertaining the question, is if you'll just go read the assigned material, you'll be more than enough prepared for the final exam. And Jesus concludes by saying, but our God is a God of the living. And I think what Jesus is saying, but if you want to learn, if you want to grow, if you want to experience life and life to the full, then class can begin. Let's stay right here together. You who are Sadducees who don't believe in this anyways, you who are Sadducees who do not share of your own resources, you're not alive anyways. We've been asking for a number of weeks now, and just a couple more, so just hold on. It's going to be all right. Just a couple more we've been asking. I've been asking. I don't know if you've been asking. I've been asking. Which way is this whole thing headed? Which way is this path of Jesus leading? And I believe that Jesus answers that question today by saying it's all headed to life. We are the children of resurrection. And if you would like to truly live, let's go this way. The mission of God, the work of God, the intent of God is not an extraction. Moreover, so often in the scriptures, particularly in the teachings of Jesus with respect to heaven, with respect to the kingdom of God, with respect to that which is eternal, more often does Jesus address that which is present and now and here, not then, not there. I am convinced, and this has changed my life, this has changed my faith, this has changed the way that I interact with the world and the church. I am convinced that God is less interested in getting us to heaven. God is less interested in getting us to heaven and more interested in getting heaven into us. Do you really want to live? Do you want to walk with the God who is the God of the living? This is what it means to be children of the resurrection here. This is what it means to be children of the resurrection now. Craig Larson tells a story that on his desk, he often keeps some sort of material to encourage him, to inspire him. It might be art, it might be photography, it could be a certain poem. And he says on this one occasion, he had a new book that he had just received, a book of photos of the national parks, one of the greatest gifts, one of the greatest ideas in American history is our national parks. And this is not the photo that was on this particular page, but this is similar. This is a certain angle of the Grand Teton Mountains. And after he had been staring at this photo for a couple of days, he was ready to turn the page. He was ready to move to the next national park. Maybe it would be Yosemite. Maybe it would be Arches. Maybe it would be Arcadia. Maybe it'd be one of the ones that you tend to love. And so as he went to grab the photo and turn the page, he realized it's one of those pages that folds out and extends. And he extends the photo and realizes all along I've only been looking at a portion of the mountains. In Haggai, the prophet foresees that the former house will be outdone by that which is to come. It will be overcome with that which is later. We hold to such great hope. We have the assurance of that which is ahead. We can be sure, even now, in the context of this story with Jesus, Jesus headed to Jerusalem, to the place of great suffering, and to the place of great victory, that at the resurrection of Jesus, that victory over death, victory over the enemy, new life and resurrection for all will be proclaimed, that there is hope, there is a future, there is momentum. And here in this story, in this moment with Jesus, he doesn't seem to have any interest in entertaining a trick question about whose spouse will she be in the end, which really hurts my heart. I just like to think that there's no way Allison could ever enjoy eternity without me by her side forever, could she? I mean, there are certainly some questions I need to ask God in that heavenly of heavens. I need to ask God, does Moses really look like Charlton Heston? Friends, we have such great hope. We have such great assurance and certainty that Christ will be victorious, that the kingdom of God will be made fully evident in the world and in our lives. And if our emphasis is only futuristic, we're missing half of the mountain. Let's learn and ask great questions. Let's go from whatever room we're in into the room of someone else. Let's not shout across the planet. Let's not live in the huh. Let's sit at the feet of the rabbi, the teacher, Jesus, and let us learn, let us grow, and let us stay there until midnight. Let's pray together. We have such great hope that all things are in your hands, O God. That all things will be redeemed, all things will be restored. That all of creation will cry out and reveal your love and your grace and your goodness. And we know we don't have to wait. In the example and in the leadership of Christ, we have the opportunity and the privilege to be your resurrection today. Give us the eyes to see. Give us hearts full of courage. Give us minds that are transformed into your image. And give us the faith that will move mountains today. It is in your name that we pray, the name above and beyond all names, the name of true love, Christ our Lord. Amen.